Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, and Ira himself will be watching the Bucks-Colts game on Sunday, 1 o'clock at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Beautiful setup, outdoor, covered, or indoors. Great menu, Florida's best craft beer. Buy Big Storm Beer at your local Publix or find it at bigstormbrewery.com. Use the Storm Tracker there and find out where it's sold near you. Big Storm Beer, grab a Bromosa and have a great day.
I don't think Indy will. There might be the only team left that won't. Maybe Cleveland could be in that category, but you know how quickly coaches abandon the run, Lee. You know that. Frank Reich's not like that. His best player is Jonathan Taylor. His next best player might be Quentin Nelson, and they got other guys up front. And I don't think he's going to abandon it. So it's going to be interesting. But if Wentz throws the ball 40 times, Lee, the Bucks are going to win this game.
Buccaneers fans, it is that time again for the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. Ira Kaufman, the Baron of Big Storm Beer. Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the custodian of Canton himself. The king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira. Man, Ira, we are fired up to dive deep into this critical crossroads-ish kind of game. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. I'm Steve Isbitz. Bill Curry Ford presents all the fun. What a time to buy a vehicle. What a time to get body work done or service work that you've been putting off. You can do it all at Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford for the last 61 years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. GM Sean Sullivan, yeah, if you tried to reach him in person, he's been out of town for a little while, and that's why his best-in-class podcast at Joe Bucks Fan has not been there for Thanksgiving week and won't be. He'll be back next week, but Sean is always ready to give you the Ira Kaufman discount. They'll get him on the phone for you if you need to consult, if you have a question. You can email him anytime you want, and you can find his email at BillCurryFord.com. That's where you can look at some Black Friday savings and also shop their transparent pricing. Bill Curry Ford. Ira Kaufman himself drives a 2020 Cherry Red Ford Escape, and Ira will be cruising that down to Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater Sunday to watch the Bucks. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast and Florida's best craft beer. Hang with the Sage Sunday. Great menu, great time, outdoor covered seating, indoor as well. Ira's going to roll in about 12:15, and Florida's Elite Restoration. Remember the name when you have a disaster. That's who you call immediately. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Fire, mold, flood, whatever it might be. Ira, man, we are fired up to dive into this game. A very interesting situation going on, but a lot going on with the Bucks. And a lot we didn't touch on in the last podcast where Ira dove very deep into various Hall of Fame happenings, his chat with Andy Reid, all kinds of interesting stuff there. Good nuggets, Ira. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, wherever, at JoeBucksFan.com. Ira, look, I got to go back to something that happened in the Giants game because it still baffles me in some ways, and I'm so uplifted by it. I had a great Thanksgiving. Sean Murphy Bunting comes in. The guy played like a quarter on opening day. He comes in with a bionic arm and leads the team in tackling. He's covering guys deep and gets a pass interference flag waved off. You know, the officials conferred and said, no, that was great coverage. He's everywhere. He's doing his thing. He's making a huge difference. Bruce Arians even said he sort of let the cat out of the bag. He said on SiriusXM NFL radio they weren't really afraid to play man defense anymore. I mean, what's going on there, Ira?
Let's not go crazy here, DeCamper. This is the same Daryl Green we're talking about. But I will say this. He's a better player than I thought he was. I thought he was a potential weak spot a year ago. And he's usually in the right place at the right time. He's got a knack for it. I still think Carlton Davis is better. That's no knock on Bunting. And when Davis comes back, and who knows when that's going to be, that's a pretty good pair of corners, as they proved down the stretch last season. Steve's right. The guy came back. I'm not sure he was in football shape. He's going to be doing nothing but getting better as the season goes by. And he made a difference. It's the Giants. Saquon Barkley is not the old Saquon Barkley. Daniel Jones is not Patrick Mahomes. But the Buck defense had a very, very good evening against the Giants. They converted one third down all game, none after the first quarter. No rhythm for the Giants. Bucks had a lot to do with it. And Bucks are getting healthy. Lee, I think there's a lot of good signs for Buck Nation. You know, if they don't win the NFC South, there should be an investigation. I mean, come on. The Saints are in free fall. There's no reason to think the Saints are going to turn this around. Atlanta is, you know, they're a 7-10 team. And, you know, Carolina's a 500 team. So, objective number one, win your damn division. Lee, after about 10 games, I think the Bucks almost got this thing wrapped up.
Yeah, almost. You know, this is a huge game, and it seems like every week teams are trying to boost the Bucks up to stay right in the hunt for the number one seed, and then the Bucks let everybody down. And here we are. We started the Thanksgiving Day weekend. Cowboys got beat. Ha, ha, ha. Saints got clobbered, the slimy Saints. I love that. And, oh, by the way, they've lost every game Jameis Winston hasn't started. So they're in complete and total free fall. And Bucks have a 2.5 game lead on the Panthers, who are surprisingly tied for second place with the Saints. And the Bucks have a chance to put a stranglehold on a division. Are they going to take advantage of that? I don't know. Saints are tough. Now, getting back to Sean Murphy Bunting, no, he may not be a Pro Bowler. A lot of people are not confident in Bunting. When I say a lot of people, I'm talking about fans. You know, the Bucks don't win the Super Bowl. They may not even have been in the Super Bowl if not for Sean Murphy Bunting. And that may be an outrageous declaration for some, but think about this. His interception set up Scotty Miller's bomb. Scotty Miller doesn't have that bomb, the Bucks lose. They won by 5 points. Take that touchdown off the board, Bucks lose that game. That play was set up by Sean Murphy Bunting's pick at midfield two plays prior, right before that. That set that up. So Bucks aren't even in a Super Bowl without Sean Murphy Bunting. He's always been pretty good at picking off passes. I think it wasn't so much Sean Murphy Bunting was playing well, and that was obviously a key. And even Arians said they were going to play him like 20 snaps. They wound up playing him like, what, 39 snaps, 40 snaps? Because he was playing so well. But it allowed the defense to do other things. It allowed other players to do other things. And I'm mentioning Devin White specifically. Because I remember, whether you want to believe him or not, this is what the guy told me. And to me, it adds up. To me, it was logical. When Devin White was not getting any numbers, and I asked Todd Bowles, is that because you're using Devin White to help cover for those backups, cornerbacks? But he said, yeah. So, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt. It adds up. And, you know, Murphy Bunting may not be a Pro Bowler. He may not be as good as Carlton Davis. He's a hell of a lot better than the bottle of cologne and Dee Delaney. A
couple things on Murphy Bunting. I'll add, if he doesn't pick off Taylor Heinicke in the playoff game early at midfield, and then the Bucks take a 9-0 lead in the playoffs, they may not win that game. So it even goes back further than that. But I want to know what you think, Ira. Murphy Bunting played that whole game at outside cornerback. He played like 90-something percent of the snaps. Arians, just like he was with Vita Vea and with Whitehead, you know, was just gave his full of baloney coach's line of, hey, well, the guy's not going to play much when he comes back. Were we to believe that Sean Murphy Bunting was going to get winded when he didn't even injure his legs? I mean, the guy's a fitness freak. I'm sure he may be in better game wind shape than a lot of guys out there in a sense of his lower body and his fitness. But anyway, Murphy Bunting played that whole game at outside corner, whereas last season and most of the time he was dividing time between outside and nickel. Maybe he's better outside than they think he is, which is kind of what you implied, Ira. And maybe just having that one responsibility, you know, was better for him in his game.
I think it streamlined his, assignments, simplified it in his mind. He's doing less thinking out there. The guy, Lee, has proven that he's got a knack for making a timely takeaway. And he's done it time and again. Who knows when Davis is coming back? I'm going to mention this because Isbitz won't mention it, because it might be a feather in my cap, and Isbitz isn't going to throw any you know, compliments my way. But another pick for Mike Edwards, gentlemen. Another pick. Isbits, my preseason predictions looking good, Stevie.
One of a handful. Yeah, one of a handful. Yeah, now, they may have something with Edwards being the new nickel. We'll see if they stick with that or not. But Lee mentioned Jameis, and I got to say this, Ira. You know, I don't think you caught this on Twitter, but I got to bring it up. After the Bucs lost to the Saints, I wrote something up that basically said Devin White may have just locked up the division for the Bucs because he knocked Jameis Winston out of the game, and the Saints are not going to compete without Jameis, given that Taysom Hill was injured and Trevor Siemian's Trevor Siemian. And I took a ton of crap for that as being, how could I say such a thing? And in my mind, it had nothing to do with wanting Jameis to get hurt, had nothing to do with celebrating an injury, had everything to do with reality. And here we are, the Saints have lost three in a row without Jameis Winston starting, and I haven't taken that much crap in a long time. What's going on with people, Ira?
Steve, I knew what you meant. You know, you got nothing against Winston. You got no reason to wish him ill luck. And, you know, but this is a Joe Bucs fan. And it's a Buck-oriented podcast and website. And we're very successful, you guys, at what you're doing for a reason. And that's breaking down things and analyzing them and putting them in an objective light. The facts are the facts. Now, Lee, to be fair, we have to add... And don't I know this because he was my first-round pick in the fantasy draft, Lee. the absence of Alvin Kamara, it's killing the Saints. Killing them. And he didn't play yesterday either. I believe he's missed three games, if not more, with this knee injury. Who knows when he's coming back. And, Lee, their offense wasn't very good with Kamara. You know, they weren't scoring a lot of points. And they were being led by defense early. I believe they got off to a... 5-2 start, gentlemen. I believe they were 5-2, and they were on the Bucs' heels after beating Tampa, and then the roof caved in. So you combine Winston with Kamara. I would say mostly it's Winston, but Kamara certainly won A. They got nothing right now, Lee. They just don't have any weapons right now.
Quick question, since we're on the Saints here. And by the way, that was utterly ridiculous how people were coming after Joe Bucs fan for you know, Steve writing that about Winston. There was nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And the people, I'll go ahead and say it. The people that came after Steve, and they know who they are, they need to look in the mirror. They need to look in the mirror. Either their editors wouldn't allow them to write that, or they're living in some kind of pansy-ass fantasy world. And that pissed me off, how people came after Steve. It really pissed me off. Well, we're talking about the Saints real quick. The Bucs play the Saints on Sunday Night Football. What are the chances that gets flexed out?
That game may not have a lot of meaning, Lee.
Exactly.
I can't imagine a network saying no to Tom Brady like that. I mean, that would just feel hard to do. But I guess it's possible. You know, if the Saints are playing Trevor Siemian and they're on a 6-game losing streak or something, I hadn't thought of that. But man, taking Tom Brady off primetime, I don't know.
That's the only reason they wouldn't flex it, I think, is Tom Brady. And that's a big reason.
Yeah, I you're right. He's a matinee idol, for lack of a better term. So he would be the drawing power. Packers, Ravens, maybe. Titans, maybe. Steelers, maybe. God forbid if they flex out the Bucs for Cowboys, Giants. Ugh. Oh, here we go. Patriots and Colts. Patriots are eyeballs.
Hey, Ira. So look, we have a couple of guys, and we're never going to know the full truth as far as the extent of their injuries and where they are for Sunday's game. But Devin White came out of Monday with a quad injury, and Vita Vea is looking to get back off his knee issue. You know, coming back in 2 weeks would be pretty quick for him, though he should be ready on some capacity if he's been practicing like he has been. White, though, is really the X factor, Ira, against a team that runs the football, but... What do you feel this impact of White would really mean? Even if he's at 80%, let's say he plays and he's not the same Devin White, where do you see the actual level of impact if that's the case?
I think it's potentially huge. They're not playing the Jets. They're not playing the Giants. They're playing the Colts. With the exception of the Patriots, I don't think anybody's playing better than the Colts right now. They are killing people. Just ask Buffalo. Buffalo's got damn good defense, Lee. They were the number three rush defense till Jonathan Taylor came to town. The score was 38-7 after three quarters, Lee. 38-7, Indianapolis. That's an embarrassment for the home team. Devin White, you know, he's a run stuffer. He had 18 tackles a couple of weeks ago. Vita Vea, according to Brian Baldinger, is the best interior foot in the National Football League against the run, including Aaron Donald. He said he's number one. Buck fans would like to have Vea back. An 80% Devin White is a problem, Lee, with the physicality that the Colts bring. I love this matchup. I'm going to be at Big Storm. If you like trench warfare, this is the game for you. Are the Bucs going to be stout at the point of attack? The Colts don't throw the ball very much, Lee. That's helping Carson Wentz. That's why he's got only three interceptions. Three on the season. He doesn't throw the ball a lot. There's no mystery about the Colt offense. And with the injury, Lee, to Derrick Henry, Taylor is now the best running back in football. And as Derek Brooks told me the other day on our podcast, The Identity Tampa 2, this is really maybe, Lee, the first time this season that the Bucs are playing a team that is fully committed to the run game. Fully committed. Now you say, well, they played Dallas week one. Dallas, this is not the old, Ezekiel Elliott getting the ball 25 times. We don't see that. We don't see that anymore. So Dallas has changed its offense, and I don't necessarily think for the better. But this team runs the football, and they take the ball away. That's their formula, and it's pretty damn successful.
Yeah, I think Steve used the perfect word earlier, crossroads. This is a crossroads game. And I don't think the Bucs are not going to be in the playoffs. I firmly believe them to be in the playoffs. I firmly believe they should win the division. I'd like to see them get some distance between themselves. I mean, there already is distance. I'd like to see them put it away this week. But this is a crossroads game. You can see the people at ESPN are wanting to jump on the bandwagon. Marcus Spears, the NFC should be worried. The Bucs are coming back, and you can see people are wanting to jump on that bandwagon. They're wanting to use last year as a perfect example. The Bucs turning the corner in November as they're heading into December. They're wanting to do that. But are the Bucs going to justify that? This game would be a justifiable win if they do win. To say, see, just like last year, they're turning the corner. Late November, early December, they're turning the corner. Here we go. Are the Bucs going to live up to that? I hope so. This, again, Steve used the perfect word, crossroads. The Colts are supposedly probably the best team against the Bucs' best strength, even though they're dinged up. Are the Bucs going to rise to the occasion? The Bucs have struggled on the road. Good grief, they struggled on the road. Taylor Heinicke and Trevor Siemian, give me a break. The only time Trevor Siemian looked like a marginal NFL player was against the Bucs. Everybody else, he looks like the trash that he is. And it's just aggravating as can be. All signs are pointing for the Bucs to make a name for yourself, put this team away, show that you're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Are they going to live up to it? They're going to step up to the occasion. Okay. Real quick about the Saints, whenever I was talking about the Bucs and the Saints getting flexed out for the Patriots and Colts. Patriots and Colts is a Saturday night game. So they're not going to flex that out. It's already booked for Saturday night primetime.
Sage, I got to throw this out there. Would it surprise you if I told you that Carson Wentz throws more than 30 times a game?
That's not a big number these days, Steve. It's not a big number.
It's not, but it's a significant number when you consider that they don't throw a ton in part because they don't have to. And, the guy's got 18 touchdowns, three picks. It's hard to criticize when not a lot of people can name the Colts' top receivers. So it's a very interesting game. Rondé Barber, your friend, Ira, and I find this a little bit interesting. It sort of would have been unthinkable in the NFL 5 years ago. But think about this, Ira. Rondé Barber, who works for the Bucs on their team website, he apparently has an office inside one Buc. He is known common knowledge that he's sort of a consultant for Jason Light. You know, before the draft, they'll show him a bunch of players. What do you think of this guy, Rondé? You know, he'll sit in. Barber's talked about how he's looked at guys on tape for the Bucks. So he's in that role, yet he's co-hosting a gambling podcast. Think about that. Betting with the Barbers. Rondé Barber and his brother betting with the Barbers. They talk about gambling, and he's picking Bucks games sometimes. And this was one of the weeks that he dove into the Bucks game. So, I mean, just it's amazing, Ira. I'm sure in your lifetime you never thought that the NFL would embrace a guy working for a team, and then he's on talking about picking the game. It's really, it's fascinating on a lot of levels.
That's very interesting, Steve, because the perception could be that Rondé's got inside information in terms of injuries and where guys are progressing health-wise. Lee, that's not a big jump to suggest, I want to know what Rondé's picking for this game, because he might know things that that Vegas doesn't know. That's dicey.
It used to be dicey, not anymore. Yeah, you got casinos dropping all kinds of money on NFL teams for naming rights of their stadiums. So once upon a time, it was dicey.
Yeah,
no longer. And I think, it's common knowledge that Rondé Barber, I like to call it, is part of Jason Light's kitchen cabinet.
I think that's fair.
It is interesting, Ira, on the dicey part. I mean, you wonder, when does it stop? Like would the Bucks ever have a scout who doubles as a gambling analyst, you know? Or would Dave Moore on the radio broadcast all of a sudden be working for DraftKings talking about Bucks games? You know, I don't know. It's just kind of an interesting new ground to cover. But Barber himself, he on this podcast, he always picks a game of the week, sort of his pick of the week. And I've never caught it being the Bucks, but this week it was the Bucks. And the Bucks are a 3-point favorite on the road. He actually picks the Bucks to win, but he says that he's basing that solely on and very much on two things: the run defense being able to slow Taylor just enough. Although he said the film of Jonathan Taylor is quote makes your jaw drop, and he said he's not just running around people and stiff arming them; he's running through them, and of course he's averaging 5.8 yards a carry. But he said the best way to slow the Bucks is to control time of possession. Yet he thinks that the run defense will do just enough, and Carson Wentz will be forced into too many pressure scenarios, and he just hasn't thrown for enough yards yet and just hasn't won a game yet this year where he's had to sort of shoulder the big heavy load. You know, Barber says he'll take Brady in the 3 points in that realm. So I don't know. What do you, for Rondé Barber to say a guy's running back film is jaw-dropping, I mean, that's a high bar.
It is. I mean, they average, 30 rushes a game. And what's interesting, Steve, is opposing teams through 10 games against the Bucks average about 20 carries a game. So this team averages 30 carries. You could argue, and I understand Brooks's point, this is the first team that's fully committed to the run. And what makes it so great a matchup is, Lee, the last 38 games, not 11 games. Only one guy has topped 100 yards, and that's Dalvin Cook, and he barely had it with 102. The guy from the Bears, never heard of the guy this year. He had exactly 100 against the Bucks. But Lee, that was in a 38-3 game. I mean, that was negligible. So one guy has topped 100 yards against the Bucks in 38 games. Here comes Jonathan Taylor. Now, Lee, what I think could be very interesting is, suppose Brady gets off to a hot start, which has not happened on the road very often this year, if at all. That's been a problem for the Bucs on the road. Slow starts offensively. Let's say the Bucs go up 14-0, Lee. Now it's middle of the second quarter. A lot of teams in this league, and, you know, they're not very committed to the run anyway. And now you're down 14-0. They're basically going to give up on the run totally. I don't think Indy will. I don't think Indy will. They might be the only team left that won't. Maybe Cleveland could be in that category. But you know how quickly coaches abandon the run, Lee. You know that. Frank Reich's not like that. His best player is Jonathan Taylor. His next best player might be Quentin Nelson. And they got other guys up front. And I don't think he's going to abandon it. So it's going to be interesting. But if Wentz throws the ball 40 times, Lee, the Bucs are going to win this game.
And that flies in the face of what Steve was saying about Carson Wentz. Interesting. Earlier, Ivory, you said it's dicey about Barber and gambling in the Bucs. Are you referring to dicey in the sense that you think Barber's giving away information?
Not intentionally, Lee, but I think people will read into it that he is part of that kitchen cabinet. He is inside the building, which we are at, Mr. DeKemper. I want to throw that out there. We are not allowed in our perch in one Buck place. I'm still pissed off about that. Tom Brady's got that room instead of me and Fred Goodall. That bothers me, but so be it. But not intentionally from Rondé's standpoint. He would never give away anything. But just the fact about who he's picking, and like Steve says, he doesn't pick Buck games very often. But now he did. And so I'll stick with the word dicey, but Lee, you chronicled this very well, how the NFL has changed its opinion and its stance on gambling so markedly in the last couple of years. It's kind of incredible.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago that Goodell testified before Congress about the evils of gambling and it would be the destruction of Western civilization if it was allowed. I think it was the Chris Christie, New Jersey case.
I think.
And once that was legal, all of a sudden, hey, I guess it's all right.
I think Joel Glazer also testified in front of Congress about the evils of free agency. And then all of a sudden, they decided, well, you know what? Now there's no more salary cap floor and we have to spend, so let's go.
How'd that work out until the last couple of years, Stevie? How'd that work out?
It's worked out well, although it started in 2012, so it took a while, but we'll take it and enjoy every freaking minute of it, Ira. I know so many of our listeners and readers on Thanksgiving, they were still thanking. It's the first Thanksgiving after the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl, so it still was on the topic of many a turkey table there, Sage. Jonathan Taylor, Ira, he's on the cusp of NFL history, so we're trying to figure out how good is this guy. Literally on the cusp of NFL history, only two men before him, Ira, have ever had eight consecutive games of 100 yards from scrimmage and a rushing touchdown in each game. Only twice before. One is from your era, Ira, some guy, Liddell Mitchell, back in the 1975 season.
Okay.
And the other one is LaDainian Tomlinson. So if he goes for 100 yards total from scrimmage and runs one in, that's the NFL record, which, you know, Canton will be calling immediately for the ball and his underwear and whatever else they do. And, I mean, that's quite a thing. I wonder if Todd Bowles has put that in front of his team and said, you know what, you want to be on the wrong side of history forever in a display in Canton with how he did this against the Bucks. You know, that kind of stuff, you know, when it gets really historical like that, can mean something to some of these guys.
I can clearly see it on the grease board, Stevie. I can see it all week long, challenging. Adamakam Sue's got a ton of pride. Vita Vea is supposed to be back this week. Golston, you know, excels against the run. Levante David, maybe even some of the guys from the secondary, because, you know, just like the Colts, everybody blocks. Their tight ends are good blockers. Arians always talks about how the running game goes beyond the blocking of the offensive line. It's really true from an Indy standpoint. The receivers block, the tight ends block. They want to play smash mouth. They want to take your will away. And here come the Bucks, Steven. Here come the Bucks. I want to say a word. Guys, I want to say a word about the Colt defense. It's very anonymous. They don't have a lot of stars. They got DeForest Buckner. People remember him with the 49ers. Good player, good defensive tackle. They got a linebacker that Brooks really likes, Darius Leonard. And when Brooks likes you as a linebacker, you're pretty damn good. But, Lee, here's the interesting thing about the Indy defense. They've given up the most touchdown passes in the league. I think it's 25. But at the same time, they lead the league in takeaways, and they're plus 15 on the turnover differential. That's number one. So, Lee, you know, they give up a lot of yards, between the 20s, and they give up touchdown passes, but they also take the ball away a lot. So here comes Brady, who doesn't throw many picks. But he does throw him on the road, Lee. I think if the Bucks can be even in the turnover battle, the Bucks are going to win this game, Lee, in my opinion.
I'm interested in how many picks Brady has on the road versus home with the Bucks. And what always jumps out at me, even though it was a win, what always jumps out at me is Brady having three picks in the second half of the NFC Championship game. And they won.
You know, Lee, we've talked about it. That would have been the storyline, Steve. That would have been the obvious storyline coming out of Lambeau had the Bucks lost that game. Everybody would have been jumping on Brady.
Sure, sure. I mean, Darius Leonard, you mentioned him, Ira. You know, he's no secret. I mean, the guy's been a walking terror since he's been in the league. It's his fourth year. You and your guys voted him all pro last year. He's made the Pro Bowl every year. It's kind of interesting because Indianapolis has drafted so incredibly well in recent years, which is what's made this super physical and talented team. Of course, they had to go get a quarterback, but he was the second round pick and Taylor was the second round pick. And their top target is Michael Pittman Jr., who was the second round pick last year, along with Taylor. And we've seen it with the Bucks. When you can nail the second round, you know, that goes a long way. And a lot of teams will trade up for a second pick in the second round. And you just have to hit those picks. I've got to ask you, Ira, though, about the Bucks offense. One thing that Rondé Barber also said on that gambling podcast is that he thought it was the best performance, play calling wise, of Byron Leftwich against the Giants, which I thought was kind of interesting. An interesting way for Barber to phrase that, you know, and he's diving deep on all the film. But my bigger question is, do you think there's a chance that we see Brady get rattled again, like he did against Washington, that it was almost admitted that, hey, he got hit once and, you know, we can't have that happen? I mean, I would think that any coach, and maybe not Joe Judge because the Giants were a mess, but any coach has got to look at that Washington situation and say, you know what? They're basically all but saying if he gets smacked early, he's a different quarterback. You think they go all out to go get him, throw some zero blitzes on him early just for the sake of maybe getting a shot in that changes the whole game?
Well, Steve, you could try, and maybe they will, but easier said than done. Lee, how many full shots has Brady taken this year in 10 games? A couple. That's what was so jarring about the hit early in the Washington game. And it did have an effect on Brady. But, Lee, we mentioned in the earlier podcast this week, and I think it bears repeating, because it is remarkable. Brady is averaging 42, 43 throws a game. Lee, that's a big number. He almost matches his age. And, Lee, they've allowed fewest sacks in the league. The fewest. And Brady's throwing the ball all over the joint. Now, you know, we've seen for 20 years, Brady's very tough to hit. A lot of that is on Brady, but not all of it. Here come the Colts. They're not known for their pass rush. It's okay. That's all. They can try to blitz the heck out of Brady, but that's where, you know, a 12-yard pass to Godwin goes for 60, if you don't get there. So pick your poison. Seen every blitz in the world, Lee. It sounds good on paper. It usually doesn't work against Brady. I think he's going to have a good game. Having said that, Lee, I didn't think he was great against the Giants. I thought he was good, but I thought he missed a lot of throws, Lee.
He missed a couple, but he was good enough to get the job done.
Air conditioning contractors, plumbers, property managers, contractors. Who do you use when your clients have a disaster in their home, a flood, a ton of mold? What do you do? Well, you should be calling Florida's Elite Restoration, and owner Josh Martin works with lots of companies like yours who want to give great, honest, professional service to their customers. Florida's Elite Restoration does it right. They have experience. Josh Martin, 14 years as an insurance adjuster, is now on the other side, helping businesses and homeowners. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Call Josh directly. He'll explain to you what his company can do for your company to help everybody in an honest, straightforward, and cost-effective way. Florida's Elite Restoration. Homeowners, you can call them 24/7 if you find a disaster. Get that free assessment for yourself. Don't navigate the insurance system alone. Florida's Elite Restoration.
Perfect timing you brought up the subject, Ira. You know, as I often do during the podcast, I'm sifting through Twitter. And oddly enough, once you started mentioning Brady and quarterback pressure, a Twitter from James Palmer pops up, NFL Network. Tom Brady has been pressured on only 16.1% of his dropbacks this season, the lowest by any quarterback this season, and would be Brady's lowest quarterback pressure rate in a season in the history of Next Gen Stats, which is 2016.
Wow. So that's one every six dropbacks he even gets pressured, never mind sacked.
Exactly.
That doesn't mean he got hit, right, Lee? Doesn't mean he got hit.
No, just pressure. Yeah, you breathe on him. I guess that's a pressure.
That is priority one at one by, as it should be. Protect Brady. And they're doing a great job of it, Steve. A great job.
We've seen the great protection. It's been there all year. I mean, it's just nitpicking. The guy takes the least sacks, throws the most balls, and you look at the pictures, and we have photos from Joe Bucks fan. You know, our photographer sends us an array. I mean, sometimes Brady's standing there. You could have a parade between, you know, him and the nearest defensive lineman. He's just standing back there. He's got to be loving it, and I think it's the greatest hope of him continuing to play. Because as soon as the offensive line gets crappy, Brady's not going to stick around for that. He'd be crazy to do that. It almost makes me believe that they will overinvest, relatively speaking, in the offensive line. They may try to keep everybody next year and just, you know, take it out of the defense, you know, wherever that money may have been spent otherwise. You know, let JPP go, let Sue go, and bring in some young guys and some cheaper free agents and make sure Brady sticks around. You know, and they make that business decision. But
to your point about Brady having so much time, there was a play Monday night. It turned out to be insignificant. I think Brady threw the ball away after a while. He was in the red zone. The Bucs were in the red zone. I couldn't believe the amount of time he had to throw. He had to have gone through his progressions twice.
I remember that.
It was unreal. It was unreal. I thought he was waiting for a DoorDash delivery from La Terracita. I mean, the guy was back there forever. I couldn't believe it.
Ira, I had to bring this up because I know it's going to make Lee smile and just glow from the inside out. Arians was on Sirius XM NFL Radio Wednesday, and I forget the former player that was among the two hosts interviewing him, and the guy was basically saying, hey, you know, Bruce, are you going to try to get to more balance? You know, the offense looks so good, but you're throwing the ball so much, et cetera. And Arians basically just said he sounded a little tired on a Wednesday night. It appeared to be live. Sometimes they pre-record it. And he said, just score points. He's like, you score points. That's what this game's about. Score points, and that's it. So he basically was essentially saying, who cares? You know, we score points. And obviously the Bucs are the number one scoring team in the league.
I think that says it all. And I can just see Lee nodding in agreement. And Lee, you really can't argue that point. You've been making it all year long, maybe 2 years long since Brady came to town. You do what you do best, Lee. Now, where you and I disagree is, you know, basically, maybe I'm reading you wrong, but, you know, according to that, you would never run the ball. And I think the Buck running game, Lee, for 2 months has been productive, and you're about productivity. So it's been productive. I think they're running it just enough. I don't have a problem with it. They could have easily scored 40 against the Giants. We all know that, Lee, if not more. It's not the only game that we felt that way. And, you know, it's just amazing to me, Lee, because, you know, the Bucs' first Super Bowl run, you know, Sapp would say to Brad Johnson, give me 17 points. We'll do the rest. Give me 17. Can you do that? 17. And now we're bitching about 30, Lee. So score points, and they're doing it as well as anybody in the league. Antonio Brown, when he comes back, I think this offense is going to take it to another level, Lee.
Well, here's one you'll like, Ira. Michael Lombardi always talks about this. And I'm the type of person, your roster should tell you what you should do. If you've got the power to run the ball, that's where your best players are. That's where your playmakers are. You run the ball, not unlike Indianapolis, although I'm a big Pittman fan. I think Pittman's a hell of a receiver.
Pittman's good. Yeah.
And if you're like the Bucs, you got a ridiculous amount of weapons, I think handing the ball off is basically that's one less snap. One less snap to score. That's just my opinion. But here's what Michael Lombardi says about this, the run versus the pass. And I think this sort of applies to you, Ira. Maybe you'll agree with this. But I think he sums up really well. Michael Lombardi said, You throw to score points, but you run to make your team tough. He basically said you can't win, you can't score points by running, but it makes you a tougher team. You throw to score points, which is sort of what Arians was saying.
It's a hell of a line, Lee. And, you know, you're throwing a bone to the Hogs up front because they want to run block and kick a little ass.
Yeah,
they love that. Instead of absorbing, and the buck, you know, pass protection, we said, has been great. But that gets a little, overdone after a while, after you get to the 40th drop back. Hey, can we run the ball a little bit? You know, and there's something to be said for physicality and toughness. And the Bucks had it down the stretch last year. It was part of their DNA. I like what Lombardi said. I don't always agree with Lombardi, but I think that's an aspect of the game that you have to have, a little physicality.
You brought up the 17 points. That was Sapp's famous line. Just give us 17 points. A reader asked this week on JoeBucksFan.com. I apologize. I don't recall who, but it was a reader. It was a commenter. Who was a better GM, Rich McKay or Jason Light? That's a very interesting subject.
Light grew exponentially when Brady came to town. And we're not going to argue that. I mean, we're not going to argue that. Now, come on. And Lee, you know, I don't shy away from these things. You're talking to a guy who called for Light's dismissal. I did. And then Arians came in, and then Brady came in, and we all know what the hell happened. And Light's done a very good job the last 2 or 3 years. He's drafted very well. His free agency signings have been sharp. But you can't erase, the first 5 years, Lee. You can't. McKay made plenty of mistakes. Hello, Riddell Anthony. Hello, Jacquez Green. He made plenty of mistakes. But his first two draft picks were Sapp and Brooks. And you can't take that away.
No.
And by the way, anybody that's listening out there, I want to direct that. And there's a few of them out there. And like Lee says, they know who they are. I've heard this crazy suggestion. McKay didn't draft Sapp and Brooks. It was Sam Weiss. But let's put that to bed. That did not happen. Sam Weiss didn't know anything about Derek Brooks and Warren Sapp. Well, Weiss's whole pedigree's on the offensive side of the ball. He's not going to weigh in and be the number one guy that says we got to trade up to get Derek Brooks. Come on. That was McKay and his brain trust, and you got to give him credit for that. Surrounded them with some other talented defensive players, so the Light story's not over, Lee. It's not over. And if he stays after Brady leaves and the Bucks are still successful...
Well, I think it showed Arians and his staff. I think it demonstrated, actually pretty damn clearly demonstrated, White knew what he was doing with the draft. He just didn't have the coaches that knew how to develop young players.
That's a good point, Lee. That's a good point.
Because obviously this team flipped 10 games in Arians' first year. That's when it started to change. That's when, especially the defense, it flipped at that point. McKay had one, and you sort of touched upon it. McKay had one very bad blind spot, which I don't think he could make up for in today's NFL. With the exception of running back, he was terrible at offensive skill position. Terrible. Wide receivers, he was terrible. Quarterbacks, terrible. Running backs, he was excellent.
Hey, Ira, can I give you a fun fact about the glory years Buccaneers, which, of course, it gets glossed over in some of the romantic things that we think about these teams from years ago, no matter what team they are. Maybe they were our favorite team as a kid, a baseball team, a player, whatever. The Bucs once lost 3 in a row, Ira, in 2000. 3 in a row, not through the season, 3 in a row when they scored 17 points or more.
They missed the playoffs that year, right, Steve?
Yeah,
they missed the playoffs.
They missed the playoffs. The great irony of that season is that they scored the 6th most points in the NFL, and then they fired the offensive coordinator and moved on. So it was a very strange year on a lot of levels for the Bucs. It was a bit of a hiccup, but you know they still went 10-6, so it wasn't really looked at as a down year per se, but a strange year. 3 in a row. Next time Sapp brings that up, you tell him, hey, you lost 3 in a row when you scored 17 or more back in 2000.
Steve, I think Sean King might have been the QB that year. Sean King. Yeah.
All right, Ira. So look, I'll just put it on the table. But before I do, I'll remind everybody, Bill Curry Ford presents the podcast, Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping there. That nationwide lifetime warranty on used and new vehicles is real. Get all the information at BillCurryFord.com. Sean Sullivan's a real guy, too, and he will help you. Email, in person, phone, whatever it is. He's the GM, the boss, real personal service. Even if you just have a question, it's totally fine. Tell him Ira sent you. And I remind everybody, Florida's Elite Restoration, that's your first call, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. But they're on the phone 24/7 whenever you have a disaster in your home, flood, fire, mold. They'll give you that free assessment right in your home. I mean, it's just a must. And Big Storm Beer, Big Storm Brewery, that's where Ira's going to be. Clearwater, Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. Sage will be hanging with fans. Man Beast, Zach, the intern, will be with Ira. And, of course, Big Storm Beer is available near you. It's in Publix. Just try them out. You will not be disappointed. Ira, I gotta say this. Because we're here on a Friday morning and I don't know all the injury status and I don't know if I believe it, whatever those status is anyway, coming off a Monday night game, going to Indianapolis, they're calling it a sellout up there. They're going to close the roof, 67,000 people on the turf against the hottest team in football. They've won 5 out of 6. I've been a little bit swayed watching the Colts on this in-season Hard Knocks, which is just a fantastic, I hope the Bucs do that next year. The in-season Hard Knocks, in my opinion, way better than the summer Hard Knocks. Frank Reich, he's crying in the locker room after they go 0-3. He's talking to the team. He's getting choked up, saying, I believe in you. I know you're not going to quit. Very physical matchup when the Bucs may be a little banged up after a Monday night game. I thought this would be a tough one early on, and now the Colts are hot. I just think the Bucs are going to lose. I hate to say it, but I think they're going to go down 28-24.
Tough time to play the Colts. They started 1-4. That's when you wanted to play them. Now they've won 5 out of 6, Lee. They got the winning formula. But, Lee, I'm going to flip the switch. Controlled environment, no wind, no rain. Brady needs to show me a little something on the road. And I think he will. The Colts are very opportunistic. But when they're not taking the ball away, Lee, it's not an elite defense. It's not. And Gronkowski's back, and Gronkowski looked really good Monday night. You got Godwin. You got Evans. You got Fournette. You got plenty of weapons. Scotty Miller, let's see what you can do. Tyler Johnson, contribute. Perryman, catch a few balls. Lee, I think the Bucs can score enough points to blunt this very physical Colts offense. I'm picking the Bucs to win by 3 points, Lee.
This is a tough one for me because I'm really split. Until the Bucs can show me they can play better on the road, I unfortunately want to go with the Colts. Of course I want the Bucs to win. But if you're getting beat by the likes of Taylor Heinicke and Trevor Siemian, when they stink out loud, especially Sydney, you got to get your act together. And I don't know if the Colts are the team where you're trying to get your act together on the road. Short week, road game, that's not good. 24-23 Colts.
All right,
we got some separation, Ira. Yeah, I hope I'm dead wrong, too. Nothing would be sweeter because this game, as we started off saying, it's a bit of a crossroads because if the Bucs can win this, they can really cement their road as a potential 1 or 2 seed. If you lose this game, well, you sort of fall back with the pack and you've got your fourth loss, which it's most likely 5 losses is not going to be good enough. So you'd have to sort of win out to really guarantee that number 1 seed. Tough situation there. I hate doing this. I hate it, but I don't know. I'm hoping Scotty Miller's an X factor because after Perryman dropped that touchdown ball, which was just such a perfect throw, and now Scotty Miller's been activated. I'm thinking Miller's going to get those Perryman snaps. So you guys think Miller's going to play a lot and that Perryman's done now, or what do you think?
Well, the Bucs have not had much of a downfield passing threat the last couple of weeks. It's been a lot of checkdowns. And so Miller brings that dimension. I don't care if he only catches 2 balls, but if he can get 55 yards out of those 2 balls, Buck Nation's going to be very happy. So until Antonio Brown comes back, Lee, they've been a little short on the downfield passing game.
That's very fair and astute observation, Ira. I think Miller gets 12 snaps, just enough to, you know, scare the defense. Because obviously when he comes to the game, he's sort of like a designated hitter. When he comes in the game, you know he's not there to steal bases. You know he's not there to bunt. You know he's going to be swinging for the fence. So when he comes in there, they're not going to be worried about Miller. At least they shouldn't be. And I hope the Bucks don't use him like this. He's not an intermediate guy over the middle. He's downfield, you know, drop the bomb. And when I was just mentioning Miller, I remembered in training camp, time after time after time, they were having Miller run, you know, 12-yard, 15-yard passes over the middle. And I'm like, what the hell is Arians doing here? He's not that kind of receiver. He's going to get killed. And so I hope that Arians and Leftwich don't have some kind of weird fetish that they think they could turn Scotty Miller into Chris Godwin. No. Please don't do that.
Ira, as long as the defenses keep playing those two deep safeties, I think that's going to – Brady's just instinctively going to throw fewer deep balls, but you still got to be able to throw some. Very curious to see if the Colts let the Bucks sort of carve them up with time of possession, which is what they're going to be able to do more easily if they're running those two deep safeties like teams seem to be doing. So a little bit of a chess match to look for. Ira, I got to mention one of your favorite guys before we get out of here, because I know how excited you are to present him for the Hall of Fame one day. You're already working on it. It's going to move your heart tremendously. DeSean Jackson passed the 11,000-yard receiving mark last night, Ira. He's 37th all-time. Michael Irvin is in his sights at 29th all-time. And what do you make of this comeback, this Raiders comeback of all things, DeSean Jackson ripping it up?
We can't get through two or three podcasts without Isbitz mentioning DeSean Jackson. We can't do it. It's one of these things. It's an upset. Call it what you want. I'll say this, Steve, much to break your heart, he's not getting a Boston Ken. He's not getting one. And Lee, in some ways, even though he's got numbers, I think DeSean Jackson is a pretty graphic example of what could have been. He could have been a Hall of Famer, Lee. He could have been a Hall of Famer. Injuries are a part of it, but not all of it. His grousing, moving from team to team. The guy's one of the great deep threats of the modern era in terms of yards per catch. He just is. 17 yards a catch, big number. Big number these days. Most guys are 13 or 14. He was an effective punt returner in his heyday. But a little bit of what could have been with DeSean Jackson. He could have been a Hall of Famer.
Oh, he's a Hall of Famer, all right. He's a Hall of Fame cancer. The two players that social media loves, absolutely loves, and they are so freaking overrated, it makes me want to puke. DeSean Jackson and Josh Gordon. Social media just goes wild over those two guys. Please name me what they've done in the last 5 to 6 years outside of get run off by teams. What have they done? Well, Josh Gordon, he gets busted for drugs every other month. You know, I'm sorry. You know, oh, it's a disease. Yeah, it's a disease, but you keep doing it and 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 doing it. Get away from me. Enough. I'm sorry. You know, that's your problem, not the NFL's. But they keep reinstating the guy, and people keep screaming for him. And I can't remember the last time the guy scored a touchdown. Honest to goodness. I just can't.
I thought you were going to throw Odell Beckham Jr. into that mix, too.
He's starting to get there. He's another overrated guy. Although, yesterday, by the way, I put my foot down yesterday. I put my foot down. Lions, the NFL should go to the Lions. Like, we know it's tradition. We know you love Thanksgiving. We know that's the only thing you got to have hang your hat on. Until you can win 6 games in a season, you don't get Thanksgiving anymore. You got to win 6 games. At least be somewhat respectful. Not even winning. Win 6 games will give you Thanksgiving. So yesterday I put my foot down. I am old enough, I don't need to be force-fed horrible football. So I watched the Chargers and the Browns from about a month ago where there was like 40 points scored in the fourth quarter. Awesome game. Fun game. I saw Beckham make a hell of a catch in that game, and it shocked me. Almost enough to make me drop my crown royal. And so I got to back off Beckham a little bit. He's done something at least.
What happens when your best friend Andy Reid, you know, again, we've established that you guys are tight. What happens when your best friend Andy Reid stands up and says DeSean Jackson is the greatest deep threat of the modern era? He belongs in the Hall of Fame. The numbers back it up. It's part of our game. We can't ignore it.
I don't expect Andy Reid to do that. He'll stand up for Rondé Barber. DeSean Jackson's, in the, you know, but he had a lot of good years in Philly. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
You know, the guy had an accomplished NFL career. You can't take that away from him. But like Lee said, what have you done in the last three or four seasons? What have you done?
Since he got traded to the Redskins, I don't think he's, well, they went, they made the playoffs once with him, didn't they?
Yeah, he had a 1,000. He had a 1,000-yard season with them. All right, Ira. Look, you know I like to tease you with DeSean Jackson. I can't help myself. We need to understand what you Hall of Fame voters are thinking. It's that time of year when we need to get inside your heads and figure these things out. But Ira, I'm very excited. You'll get to be with fans on Sunday, as always, at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. And this is one hell of a game, Ira. I mean, I know we've gone very long on this podcast, but this game is just too important. I got to ask you this. If they lose this game, if they lose the game, doesn't matter how the game goes down. If they lose the game, do you consider this a setback, or you just consider this, hey, we lost to an AFC opponent on the road, short week, we'll move on?
You know, Lee, Steve, those other considerations, that's what you say with the 2018 Buccaneers. That's what you say. Ah, short week. What do you expect? We self-destructed. Lee, the stakes are too high. The expectations have been raised. The bar can't be any higher for a franchise than the Bucs with Brady. And as long as Brady's here, Lee, you don't want to hear excuses. And it would be a setback. There's no question about it, because the odds are one of the reasons they lose is they were out-muscled and out-physicaled, and that's a concern. And Lee, they go to 2-4 on the road. That's a concern. Yeah, I don't want to hear any contingencies, not with this franchise, not where they are right now. Those days are over.
How quickly they've been over. And what you're basically saying, Ira, just to be clear, with Tom Brady, there's no such thing as moral victories.
There you go, baby.
I don't know if I could say the season's lost, they lose to the Colts. There's obviously raises some question marks. I would have to see how the game plays out. I really would. If they lose on some kind of fluke call or a fluke play, I have to see how the game plays out, whether it be doom and gloom or not. I will say this. If the Bucs win, I'm fully on the repeat bandwagon.
Yeah, absolutely. If they win, I'm doing the double twist off the high diving board, Ira. I mean, it's there's no turning back from here in the
insane. What was the Roddy Dangerfield line? A double what? Double Lucy? What was the line in Back to School?
Oh, I don't remember, Lee.
I don't know, but Ira had a double Lucy back in 53. It was a hell of a night. All right, Ira, we're out of here.
Those were the days that didn't happen very often, Steve. Not very often.
All right, get out of here, Ira.
Double Lindy. That's what it was. Double Lindy.
There you go.